My name's Sean. I get to pray for Pastor Jeff before the message this morning. Father, we love having Jeff as our pastor. We know over the recent weeks that you've been pouring into him like a funnel, batting around ideas and themes in team meetings, studying, praying, reflecting, meditating, spending time in solitude. So, Lord, this morning we ask that the other end of the funnel would come out narrowly, straight into our hearts. Everything that's been going on in his heart and soul would come into our lives experientially, tangibly. And we would all be included this morning, Lord. We know that on a day that is for moms and daughters and women, we know that you're a God that takes the blessing intended for a group of people and then extends it to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we celebrate that we're all included this morning, that your Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. Make the response clear for us this morning. We can't wait to see what happens. In Christ's name, amen.
That is so good. So good. We have, as it's been said to you two times this morning, we're wrapping up a series on the Holy Spirit going into next weekend, talking about the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit here. We do. I do not believe he is the forgotten piece of the Trinity. He's not the forgotten one. I was reminded of that again last night. Can I just be vulnerable with you guys for a minute? Can I be vulnerable? We've been preaching on this thing called the Holy Spirit and this need for him in our lives. And last night was no different than the last 14 days. We spent it at the ball field watching our boys play baseball. So 14 straight days at the baseball field. Maybe that contributes to what happened. I'm not sure. But we're at the baseball game last night. We're sitting there and I'm in my seat. And there was a call at third base, and it was questionable. It was questionable. Two of the boys present were there last night. My son Jordan's on third base, and he catches this ball in plenty of time, goes down, and from our angle, it looked like he tagged him out. The third base coach was standing right there, and it was clear to him that the tag was not made. And so erupted inside of him this desire to prove his point that he was correct. And it came out in a very domineering kind of fashion. And it didn't seem to like crescendo. It just kept going. And I could feel myself getting unchristlike. I could feel it just starting to creep up inside of me. And I'm looking at my son there going, and then out of my mouth, before I could even grab onto the words, like, mentally, this was the picture. Oh, no. Oh, no. Here. Out of my mouth comes, okay, buddy, we got it. I was trying to do a couple things there. I was trying to get it to stop because it's a little league game, right? And part of me, like, if this guy gets kicked out, then all the kids are going to be all sad. So in a twisted way, I was thinking, I'm going to help this guy. And all it did was stir him up more. And then it came back at me. Oh, shake him out a little. And I was like. And one of my fellow parents came to my defense, and it kept going. And in that moment, as I sat there in shame, I was painfully aware that there is more filling needed in Jeff Salveson. This is. There is. Jeff needs to empty more of himself so that the Holy Spirit can be more present in him. And I got up after the game and I walked over and I apologized to the coach. Not because he deserved it, but because I was in the wrong. I had no right. No right as a parent in that situation to interject. That was between the coaches and the umpire. But my immediate response after it was all over, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you need to go make this right, and you need to go make it right now. And so I got up, dealt with the Jeff stuff and walked over and apologized to him, went back over, apologized to the parents, and apologized to the parents and the coach. Jeff, in his Jeffness, would have continued to tell everybody that I was correct and that guy was in the wrong. In my flesh. In the spirit, when the spirit is present, you know when you're in the wrong and you know you desperately need more of him. And that's the picture we see here in the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you look in your Bibles, we've provided them for you in front of you. If you don't have them with you, if you have them on your device, pull your device out now. It's page number 1056 in the Pew Bible. And let me just set the scenario for you. The disciples who had spent 3 years with Jesus, watching him do amazing things, proving that he was God incarnate to them, dying on the cross, rising from the grave. And one of the first things he does to them, with them, is he, in John 20 that we read at Easter, is he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And says, go and wait. And they're spending time together in this upper room. And it's the day of Pentecost. The day of the celebration of the harvest is here. And this is what happens. Mercy read this to us. Thank you, Mercy. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as they were enabled. I want to stop there for a second because there's a lot to take in right there. And we've got a couple of things going on here. We have some likes and some kindas, and then we have some concretes, right? There's some metaphorical things here, and there's some concrete kind of things here. It was a sound like a violent blowing wind that came from heaven and filled the whole earth. It seemed as though there were tongues of fire. Now, I have no idea what a violent wind coming into a room is like, or what tongues of fire. I mean, we saw a little cartoon that I don't know what that looks like. They didn't really know how to describe it. This is the closest they could get. But there's one thing we do know, beyond the metaphor, is that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit before he left. And here, they're filled. Jordan, why don't you come up here a second? How many of you guys like going to the beach? Like going to the beach? I love going to the beach. Go ahead. He's younger. You go to the beach, you like to have fun, right? And there, in my mind, there's something just that comes over inside of me when I see one of these. Go ahead. Come on. It's all right.
I'm trying.
Here, pinch this right here. Pinch that. There we go. Try. All right. There we go. When you see one of these, I start to get a little giddy. You having trouble? I get a little giddy inside of me. There's something about a beach ball that just fills me with joy, right? But like this, that's no fun. Let go of it for a second. There's absolutely nothing fun. You want me to finish? There's absolutely nothing really fun about it. Everything necessary for fun is here. But it's empty, right? Go ahead. Keep this word here, filling, in Scripture, literally means to swell. It needs to swell. We have this wind blowing and the Spirit coming in, and then this swelling takes place. And when it's all said and done, all right, you're here. Let me help a brother out.
Shh.
I'm full of hot air. When we're all said and done, this beach ball, I can see there's some of you that are already smiling because it exudes joy with inside of you. And it feels like passing the day. And when you see it full, when you see this beach ball full, it's as it ought to be. Is it not? It's as it ought to be. I can't, because then we'll be at the end, maybe. We'll, all right? Just to prove a point, right? But all of a sudden now, full of the air that's necessary, that thing becomes something that exudes so much joy inside of all of us. Every single one of you are smiling. Some of you are having flashbacks of getting hit by one at a party or a concert, and you're not so happy, but when that thing is full, when it is filled up, it's as it ought to be. Jesus deposited the Holy Spirit within inside of the disciples, and that moment when he came in to fill them, to swell inside of them, they walked into their destiny, and they were as they ought to be. And then it says they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled. And this is very, very important. This is very, very important, all right? How the Spirit responds is up to the Spirit. I think oftentimes there becomes this manufacturing or a fear. And he's got something in mind that he wants to accomplish as he decides, as he enables. And this is what happens in this picture. This is so beautiful. In verse 5, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came in bewilderment. Yes, it was so loud rushing through this house. All this chaos, I don't know if the fire was floating around outside before it came inside, but it drew people in. They got to see what's going on. Utterly amazed, they asked, a crowd gathered together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? There present were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. There was a purpose to what Christ was doing through the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the disciples. Each one of them heard what? Them declaring the wonders of God. When the Spirit comes, he declares the wonders of God. And each one of them heard in their own tongue. God met each and every single one of them where they were in a place that they could receive it, with ears to hear and a voice that they can understand. Have your ears open this morning, because he's speaking to you. He has something very important he wants to do in and through you. Have your ears open and listen to what he's saying to you. And their immediate response is, what does all this mean? What does all this mean? There was no magical translators on their ears or on the people speaking. God was translating everything that was being said for everyone present, and they knew that something was going on, and they knew they needed to listen. Verse 13 says, however, some of them made fun of them. They've had too much wine, they thought. But then Peter stood up and addressed with the 11, and he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all who live here in Jerusalem, listen to me as I explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, people. It's only 9 in the morning. This is really fascinating to me. This is really fascinating to me. Because what they saw described for them, the only frame of reference that they had for it was drunkenness. They had no other frame in their minds to figure out what the heck was going on. Why is this craziness going on? When it really wasn't crazy at all, it was decent in order for everyone to hear what they needed to hear. One of my favorite things about our Holy Spirit weekend last year was on Saturday afternoon, God was meeting people right where they needed to be met. And there was a gentleman that came up for prayer, and he did not have a smile on his face. And he said, I'm in need of the Spirit. I'm in desperate need of the Spirit. And as he was prayed over, this joy came over him that was infectious. It was infectious. There's just no other way to describe it. And everyone sitting around experienced the joy in this man for themselves. And this joy took over in such a complete and real way because he was met exactly where he needed to be met. I think an onlooker looking at that would have been like, what the heck is going on? What's going on? The joy of the Lord came over him in such a real way that it just literally shattered all the lies and the untruth of the enemy in a very real and powerful way. And he was filled with the joy of the Lord. Let me maybe give you another metaphor of what this looks like. I grew up in a home where we never had decent cars. Never had decent cars. I mean, they just broke down. Some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And they just break down on you all the time. You'd be on vacation, and all of a sudden, all right, I guess we're going to have vacation on the side of the road. And I'm not Mr. Mechanic. I call up people in the church here for help. But the one thing I told myself that would never, ever happen in my entire life was I would never run out of gas. I don't know how to fix an engine. I don't know how to, like, do these kind of things. But I know how to put gas in a tank. It's not very difficult. Until our gas gauge in our van decided to stop working. And so then we knew that we had 360 miles, and then we had to get gas. We knew this, right? Well, unbeknownst to me, somebody had done us a favor and filled our tank and hadn't fixed the little gauge thing, so I really didn't know how much gas was in the tank. And I went up to the store to get some stuff, and I'm driving home, and the gas gauge says 300, and all of a sudden, and I'm like, what? No! And I pulled over, and then all of a sudden, there is nothing. There is nothing. That car is going absolutely nowhere without gas in the tank. It's going nowhere. It can be the most pristine engine on planet Earth. It can have everything. It can have everything perfect in it. But if there is no gas in that tank, that car is going nowhere. And so I had to get out, and I had to call for help, and our neighbor showed up with a tank of gas, laughing the whole way, filled my tank up, followed me to the gas station so I could fill it up. We have been given the deposit of the Holy Spirit. You have been given the perfect running machine. This thing will drive, it will drive, it will drive. But it ain't going nowhere until it's full. And Peter just gets into his groove. And all of a sudden, he starts rehashing scripture that he shouldn't know, which is just it's cool. He quotes Joel and says, in the last days, Martin just said this before, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Everyone of my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit upon them in those days, and they will prophesy. They will speak the wonders of the Father. And it was so good. And he continues to tell the rest of the story of Jesus Christ. And he concludes with this in verse 36. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter's response was, repent and be baptized, and you'll get the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will receive it. It is for you and your children and all those who are far off. And then it concludes with this most beautiful picture of what the Spirit-filled church looks like. Starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, one of which would have been this concept of the filling of the Holy Spirit, to breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the wonders and the signs that God was doing in and through the disciples. They gathered together. They had everything in common. They sold their possessions that they gave anyone that had need. They met together. They broke bread together. And most importantly, they praised God. When the Spirit fills you to fullness, when the Spirit fills a community to fullness, the environment is changed. But it doesn't happen until we're full. I love dinosaurs. I know it's random, but I just do. I think they're one of the coolest things in the world. That God created them, I think, is awesome. I'm so pumped and excited about Jurassic Park 14 or whatever this one is. I'm pumped. I love me some dinosaurs. I would love to be walking in a field and all of a sudden find a T-Rex. It has not happened yet. It's on my bucket list. But a couple years ago, in 2012, there was a farmer walking through his field in Montana. And he saw this strange stone sticking up out of the ground. And he walked over it and he kind of moved some dirt away. And he realized it's not a strange stone, it's a bone. He's dug away a little bit more and it's gotten bigger and bigger. And he said, oh, I need to call somebody. So he called some people in. It was a 38-foot T-Rex. 80% complete. They named it Russell. A little way from the T-Rex, they found a Triceratops. I don't know who is chasing who, but it makes for a really great movie. And in that moment, all of a sudden, this farmer's world changed. It changed. Because those bones were not rocks, they were bones. And those bones were worth millions of dollars. And this struggling farmer in Montana, kicking around some rocks, became a millionaire overnight. Now, here's the truth. He was a millionaire all along. The bones were there when he got that property. the Holy Spirit has been deposited into your life. It is time to unleash him in you. It is time to walk in your spiritual millionaire status. The worship team is going to come back up, and we're going to have a response time. And this response time is for every one of you. Every one of you. The elders and other members of our prayer team are going to come up, and they're going to be across the front here. This response is for every one of you. If you haven't received Christ yet, allowed him in your life, come on. If you have received Christ and you haven't been filled with the Spirit, come on. If you've experienced that filling before where you've just allowed him to fill every inch and area of your life in the past, and for some reason your spiritual life feels dry or deflated, come on. May 10th, 2015 is your day. Come forward and let's pray some amazing spirit filling into you. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, right now I ask that you would speak to each and every single one of us. Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive. Give our feet action to come forward. We know we need this. We know we need this. We know we need you to fill us. Lord, I ask that you give feet to action this morning. In Christ's name, amen. My elders and the prayer people are going to come forward now. They're going to spread out across the front. This response is for all of you.